Close my eyes, hear the flowers grow. As you lay sleeping in my arms, and the time will be our time.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalen.com. It is time for some political talk with Sherrilyn Harley Laban, who served as a political appointee in the George W. Bush administration, as a spokesman at the Republican National Committee, and does so many other things, including being a guest on the Fox News Channel and other national broadcast radio shows. It's my honor to have her as a regular on my show. Welcome back to the show, Sherrilyn.
Hey, great to be with you, as always, Bruce.
I really enjoy it. And I think I am really curious. Today's theme about teaching our kids independence seems to really be an ironic one in light of what our president seems to want for most Americans, which is dependence. So I would love your thoughts in that vein and filter it through what you heard our president say recently in the State of the Union.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, Bruce, I think the goal for most parents is we want our children to grow up and be productive members of society, right? I mean, I think every parent wants to know that their children are going to grow up and not live in their basement, right? So what we have now with this generation is, number one, due to the fact that we have still relatively high unemployment, number one. Number two, it's just tougher for these kids coming out of college to find jobs because, A, it's competitive, and B, the skills that I think that this generation has to learn is just so complex, right? I mean, it's the communication skills. It's obviously knowing your field, your competencies in whatever field you're in, law, accountant, medicine. It's just very competitive. And number three, the fact that our kids now have to have so many skills above and beyond which are just their core competencies. It's being able to network. It's having good communication skills. It's having good technical skills. It's also knowing social media. It's all of these things which I just think really add stress more to these kids and just add to the fact that in this very competitive market, you know, your kids kind of have to be able to juggle balls and speak four languages. Okay, so let's move.
Okay, so let me talk about the irony that I couldn't agree with you more, that all these skills are the exact opposite of what our government is promoting right now, our current administration, and what seems to be taught in the schools, and the dependence our kids have on their weird communication skills of texting and Instagramming and short attention span. I had dinner last night with a friend who was telling me all about Vine and these and Snapchat, and that the interest in videos for the young generation is basically the shorter the better. So it's seconds. Well, you don't develop relationships in seconds. You don't impress an employer in seconds. You have to do it over time and develop it. And what did our president tell us that seems to support what you just said? I think the exact opposite. Am I missing something?
Exactly. Exactly, Bruce. The point is now is, particularly in the past 5 years, we have this mantra coming out of this administration that is saying the government will take care of you. We're going to provide free health care. Now, we know that's not true.
Stop there. Stop there for a moment. Let's talk about the incredible absurdity that there was this gigantic amount of applause when the president announced that now you can keep your kids on your insurance until they're 26. Well, is that teaching independence?
Right.
That's a good thing?
Right, exactly. And here's the other thing. You know, not just Obamacare, and, you know, you can be on your parents' insurance until you're 26. It's also the notion that, you know, of raising this minimum wage, right? Raising the minimum wage. When I was growing up and got my job at the grocery store, It was always a goal. Sure, we started out at minimum wage, but it was also a goal for a lot of the kids I worked with to be able to get raises, right? It was very important. You know, a certain period of time you were there, you were doing a good job, you would get raises. Again, we want kids, this generation, to be able to work towards goals, right? And here's the other irony in this. If you're going to pay somebody, one person, $15 an hour, that means we're not hiring two people. So if we think it's bad now for these kids finding jobs, and I mean the minimum wage jobs that kids are taking in high school and college, because, you know, the thing is, Bruce, that people really don't like to acknowledge is that the minimum wage jobs are really for the younger kids. It's for high school kids. It's for college kids. And the data shows, straight up metrics here, Bruce, the data shows that the number of adults earning minimum wage as the, you know, as supporters of their family, those numbers are pretty low. There might be a parent earning minimum wage in a family, but that job, that minimum wage job, is a supplement to the family's income. There are very few families raising, very few adults raising a family on minimum wage. So this whole notion of raising the minimum wage for high school and college kids, it's just, you know, I think the whole dialogue is distorted, Bruce.
Well, not only is it distorted, I read a column, it may have been by Jonah Goldberg recently, I'm not sure if it was him, so I don't want to give him credit or blame for this column, but the column was basically explaining how our president doesn't understand basic economics. And almost every one of his policies have historically failed miserably. Not just his, but in previous administrations. Yet he continues to go back to the well to repeat these failed things, which is overregulating business discourages business. And all the different things that he has done has limited small businesses. I think it was the CEO of Home Depot who is infamously quoted as saying that he could not do or start Home Depot in today's regulatory environment. And I think the same is true for any number of companies that are stalwarts of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything our president seems to do is discouraging growth, discouraging independence, discouraging entrepreneurship. And it's very sad, and it worries the heck out of me.
Right, exactly. And again, I think this generation is going to be sadly disappointed with what is developing in terms of their options and opportunities. Because developing a generation of people who think that we are a nation of gimmies is not leading us to the goal that I think most parents have of raising self-sufficient young adults who are going to be productive members of society. Knowing that and working under the assumption that the government is going to take care of you, I don't think that's what parents really want. This is not what we want. I mean, think about it. We all can't wait until our children are potty trained, can dress themselves. We look forward to the day that our children can be independent. We look forward to that day. And I'll tell you, in a very ironic, unfortunate turn of events with this administration, I think the clock is turning back. And we're doing disservice to young adults, major disservice.
Yeah, I agree. I find, as many people know, I talk to everybody I meet everywhere, and I think that makes life interesting. But every time I encounter parents that have young adult children that are, say, ages 18 to 25, I ask them, how many are they independent? Are they living on their own? And usually that question elicits a laugh. And it's a laugh of sadness from the parent going, that basically saying, I wish. And the times in which I hear that the kids are fully independent in their early 20s is rare. And so I think this is a real pernicious problem. I think this is across the board in our country. And there's more opportunity here than anywhere else. So, I mean, the rest of the world, what is going on?
Right. I mean, this is how the situation started in the Arab Spring. Why? because the median age in some of those Islamic countries in the Middle East, Syria, Egypt, what is it? It's late 20s, early 30s.
And that and they're
generation
not getting
said,
jobs.
Yeah, and they're earning $200 a month. They said, no, that's it. We're done. In Egypt, we're tired of this man and his family having all the riches and being worth millions of dollars, and we poor people, are earning $200 to $300 a month. Enough. And look what they did in Egypt.
Well, it's, you know, I just came back, as I think you know, from Africa. And the unemployment on the continent of Africa is well into 20, 30 plus percent. Mm. So we are talking about a generation in different parts of the world that is not working at all. Well, if you're not working, particularly if you're a boy or a young man, what do? You get into trouble. That's what you do. And in South Africa, the unemployment is horrible right now.
Right.
And the result is that they're having a spiraling drug problem that never existed before and a lot of crime. And part of the reason is that crime pays in a lot of the world.
Drugs pay. Drugs pay. And what you do, you can help the rebels, the militia, whoever is in power at that particular day. I mean, this is how people are surviving in many parts of Africa. They're either with the rebels, they're engaging in the drug trade, they're doing trafficking, whatever it is, and put on the table.
It's a scary thing. And
it's a scary thing. And we don't want that to, you know, we don't want this to be, we don't want the situation in the United States to be a Greece. We don't want to be to the point of so being so bad that you have rioting in the streets.
All right. We are out of time, but I need something optimistic from you. I can't have this segment. Give me something hopeful.
Here's the thing that parents can do. Despite what the messages, mixed messages they may be getting from the government, is at home, you teach your kids that this is how our family conducts itself. And that we want you to know, don't keep planning on being on my insurance till you're 26. The goal should be you graduate from college and you're gainfully employed. That's the goal I want for you, my son and daughter.
Well put. And where can our listeners find you? Very quickly, Sherry.
Oh, they can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Laban, L-E, B as in boy, O-N. I always follow back.
Terrific. Thank you, Sherilyn. We'll talk hopefully next week. Stay tuned for Pastor Drew, who will give us a little bit of a spiritual outlook on this topic.
But I saw that giant of a man brought down to his knees by love. He was the kind of man that would gamble on luck, look you in the eye and never back up. But I saw him a-crying like a little whip pup because of love.